On the way over here, I got a call from a woman who is in an apartment. She's in arrears. She's lost her job. Mm-hmm. She's planning to move into her son's camper in 2 weeks. And she said, hey, I got your name. Is there anything you can do to help me? Mm-hmm. She's the person that we don't see when we think about homelessness in Missoula. Since I've had this job in, since September, you know, I've been out on kind of the dog and pony show in the rubber chicken circuit, talking to the Kiwanis, talking to the Rotarians, talking to basically whoever would have me. And, you know, I generally ask them the question, who do you think homeless people are? And overwhelmingly, it's the stereotype of the downtown homeless guy. A guy in a camp along the river, a guy sitting outside the Eastgate Albertsons, a guy asleep outside the Ox. But that's maybe 15% of the homeless population. We have an annual homeless count. We get what's frankly at best a rough count. And we kind of put the number at 500 to neither overshoot or undershoot. 40 to 50 of those people are the downtown people. But unfortunately, there's a lot of moms and kids out there. I bet you know somebody who's homeless that you don't realize they're homeless. And I can guarantee you, if you have a kid in a school, your kid knows a homeless kid. In that population of 40 to 50, there's what we call a subpopulation of people that are the true chronic homeless person that, you know, people will apply the term transient and bum and hobo. Now, some of them are dealing with mental illnesses. Their thinking is so institutionalized that it would take a major earthquake to convince them to come inside. They can't envision a reality that involves them being in a house. I think that's probably the most difficult demographic that we face when we talk about ending homelessness, and that's the guy that kind of puts the lie to the phrase end homelessness, because for some of those people, we're not going to end it. Part of the plan, and this is the longer-term part of the plan, sees a time when we will develop what's called a wet housing facility, and wet housing means that you can drink while you're there. The idea of having 30 or 40 guys downtown who are drunk and sometimes belligerent and are difficult to deal with. Nobody likes that. But when you tell people, well, the solution to that is to have a building downtown, fringe downtown somewhere where we can house 20 or 30 drunk guys. That is the solution, and that is what's being done in communities all around the West.
That's a tough sell,
country.
Michael.
It's a tough sell. You know, I agree, Ed, and, you know, we saw how tough it was to sell a new location for the Poverello.
Away from downtown.
Yeah, I get that. But you can't, on the one hand, say, I don't want these homeless people downtown, and on the other hand, say, but I don't want to do anything to get them anywhere.
Read letters to the editor in the newspaper, and of course I know you talk to these people.
I prefer not to,
and they say, don't feed the bears. By having shelters or a future potential wet facility, then we're drawing the problem to us, they say.
That is what they say. Yes, I agree that you can find 10 stories of guys that they've blown up every bridge that they've crossed and every other place that they've been. They've gone through mental health treatment here and there and failed. They've done alcohol treatment here and there and failed. That's a tough population. But here's what happens in big communities with that population. They try to serve them, but if they can't serve them, they don't. But they keep them inside. And what happens when you put people inside is you start spending a lot less money in your community on those people. People who are outside and freezing and starving, where do you think they go? Well, one place they go is to the emergency room. They go there because they have an abscessed tooth. They have some other minor medical thing that you and I would go to our doctor and we'd get it fixed. It wouldn't turn into a huge, potentially life-threatening issue. For homeless people, it does. St. Patrick's Hospital recently spent about $4.5 million treating homeless people. So in places like Seattle and Portland, where they have built wet housing facilities, the very first effect that they see is that hospitals in that area immediately see about a 40% decline in their emergency room use. So when you see a decline in emergency room use, here's what you also see. Less police response to homeless people, less fire department response to homeless people, less emergency ambulance response to homeless people. Those are all big ticket items. There's also a civilizing effect that when you put people inside and make them live next to other people, their behavior starts to change. And the facility in Seattle, it's called 1811 East Lake, has had really amazing results in their people over time accepting mental health treatment, going into alcohol addiction treatment, and actually graduating out of their program and moving into housing.
We're here to talk about getting people inside. And there's a new way that Missoula nonprofit service providers want to go about this. It's called Housing First.
We are finding people who are either homeless or at risk of homeless, and we are running them through sort of a qualifying program and putting them into houses immediately. We have a program running through WERD. It's called Tenant-Based Rental Assistance, and that's going to provide short-term relief for people that it can provide first, last month's rent, some amount of subsidy throughout about a 4 to 6 month period, and some case management for those people to kind of help them along. Human Resource Council will also have some money that will have a few less restrictions than the WERD money has. WERD's grant was $50,000. Human Resource Council has about $50,000. Just last week, we got in our applications for what's called Continuum of Care grants. We have applied for a much larger grant through the YWCA that will be a rapid rehousing program that will essentially use money that was previously used at the Poverello's Joseph residents and basically put all that money into a Y program that is going to serve at the minimum probably 30 families this coming year. That program is going to have about $105,000 for rental assistance over a short-term period. This money, which is about $200,000, we've had a little bit of this money, 10%, 20% of this kind of money in the past, compared to what we're going to have this year. So with that amount of money, it's hard to put a hard number on the number of families that we could help. But we're guessing that probably between 100 and 150 people will wind up being housed.
Housed where?
It's possible we'll get people into housing authority stuff, but mainly we're working with a lot of private landlords. For one of the first times in Missoula's recent history, we have a little bit higher vacancy rate than we've had in the past. We're finding landlords, you know, they got to be willing to work with us because, you know, we're not giving them somebody who's making $80,000 a year and who's guaranteed to make it every month. But we're working with people who are willing to work with us to say, we're going to support these people through a 4 to 6 month period. We're going to have their backs with case management. We will help to the extent we can to make sure that they are a good and solid renter. And here's what happens in these programs nationwide, Ed, is that in programs that put people in transitional housing, those people often are subsidized for a 2-year period, everything, all paid for. Those people actually succeed at a lower rate than people who are helped partially over a 4 to 6 month period. The principal factor seems to be buy-in. The homeless person who has a home is suddenly responsible for part of their own upkeep. It's not just being handed to them.
But it can't magically do it. And I say this.
No, it can't magically do
Missoula it. Missoula is a very tough town. If you have your life together, you're doing the best you can. Finding a job in this town is not easy.
Finding a job in this town is not easy. But the fact is there's a lot of homeless people who already have jobs. They're already working at minimum wage jobs, and oftentimes they're working at 2 minimum wage jobs. The problem for them and the problem that this sort of tenant-based rental assistance, rapid rehousing money solves is they could pay $600 a month, but they can't pay first $600 a month, last $600 a month. and $600 security deposit. So they can pay $600, but they can't pay $1,800. Well, the money that we can give them will jump them over that barrier.
You mentioned earlier that woman you spoke with this morning, her apartment's in arrears and things are kind of falling apart for her. And this weather on top of it, it adds a psychological layer of fear.
It does. You know, the when she told me she would be going to live in a camper,
yeah.
I was just like, ugh, she's any one of us. I think about her. And so right now, I will go back to my office. I told her this on the phone as I drove over. I'm going to go back and call these programs that we just talked about and said, is there something we can do for this woman? We have school children who sometime during the last semester were picked up by a school bus at a car. This community is a kick butt community. I mean, when we see a problem, we respond. We built a carousel with wooden horses down by the river in a beautiful location. If we can do something like that, I think we can do something about a situation where little kids are getting picked up by school buses in their cars.
Michael Moore, coordinator of Reaching Home, Missoula's 10-year plan to end homelessness. We have just scratched the surface of this topic, but thank you so much for coming in.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this, Edward.